here's. We need a photo op, Anna. This is very important.
This doesn't work.
Here, use mine.
Thank you. Wow. This is beautiful and not gold. Kind of speech prepared, guys. Two drinks in, and I'm on medication, so we'll see how this goes. First off, I just want to say I am incredibly honored to be here. When Wes and Phil and Dan told me that they wanted to give me this award, I thought, wow, you know, my years of friendship with them have finally paid off. Joke success. Yes. I always wanted to be in entertainment. You know, when I was a kid, I told my dad I wanted to be an actor, so he immediately enrolled me in karate classes. But of course, I didn't seriously pursue my dream until I was an adult. And only because I lost my little sister to suicide. And I realized that when I died, I wanted to at least know that I had lived doing what I had loved. Before my sister died, I thought that I was going to be like a military officer or a veterinarian, because that's the practical route, right? That's a realistic path. She killed herself when I was 17, and I was a senior in high school, and I did not laugh for 2 years. It wasn't until I saw a stand-up special on TV that I laughed for the very first time. And the person on my TV was Margaret Cho. You know, I looked at her on stage, and I was like, oh, hey! You know, maybe I can do that. It was the very first time I had ever seen an Asian woman do stand-up. And before that, the only Asian female face I had ever seen on TV was, of course, Lucy Liu, right? That's all we had. And 7 years later, here I am. Thank you for the one whoop. I appreciate that. Thank you. But it is all thanks to seeing that one face on the screen that looked like mine. Because I was able to think, oh, she's doing that. Maybe I, that too. You know, I used to think that being Asian gave me an edge in this industry. You know, you would see how hard people worked. And you're like, oh shit, I can do way better than that. And hard work equals success, right? That's what we're taught by your parents. That if you work hard, success will come. So I thought, that's what must happen with Hollywood. But last year, I booked the lead role in a feature film with a major studio. Thank you. I auditioned, I did callbacks with producers, and I met with the executives of the studio at the company. We shook hands. They told me, oh, we can't wait to work with you. We're so excited that you're the lead of our movie. And I drove home like singing to Katy Perry in my car, because this was my dream and I was finally living it, and it had actually come true. You know, I couldn't believe that I wasn't just like a one-line co-star on Awkward talking about my small boobs, or I wasn't like a supporting best friend who was like upset about a B-. I was the lead. A few days later, my manager called me while I was on set directing a short film, and he was very confused. He was like, when you met with those executives, are you sure that you booked the lead role? And I was like, well, yeah, we were talking about the lead character. We mentioned it by name. I had auditioned with that dialogue. Why? And he said that they'd gotten the official paperwork in for the offer, and what I was being given was the role of the best friend. The lead was going instead to a white woman. And we sat in silence for a bit, and then finally I asked him very quietly, I said, is it because I'm Asian? And he didn't say anything for a hot minute. But then he said, honestly, you know, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, what else could it be? What could have changed in those couple of days? That was the very first time in my career that I realized that the color of my skin might actually stand in the way of me and my dream. You know, we hear stories of racism in Hollywood all the time. We've encountered racism in our real life. We're not fucking idiots. Sorry, there's children here. But somehow this was so different because it had never mattered before. You know, I thought, oh, if you work hard enough, you can achieve your dreams. If you work hard enough and hone your craft enough and are talented enough, how can Hollywood ignore you? And to me, it felt crazy because it was like, I thought this lead role was the success after 7 years of performing stand-up and being in improv and acting classes and writing and editing and producing and directing and creating short films and web series and weekly content and building a following and hosting a podcast and running a clothing line and audition and hustling and just working fucking hard. Thank you. I would like to mention, just for clarity, I was Asian the whole time. In the audition room, in the callback, in the meeting with the producers. Because for 2 seconds I was freaking out. I was like, did I wear foundation that was like way too light for my skin? But the studio would not budge. I was either the best friend or I was out. So I was out. Then there was Emma Stone in Aloha. There was Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell. There was Tilda Swinton and Kimmy Schmidt, season 2, episode 3, the giant middle finger to the Asian community by calling us respectful Asian portrayals in entertainment, aka rape. What the fuck? How is this still happening? But more importantly, how can we change it? You know, Phil had a 17-minute video about whitewashing in Hollywood. Woo! And it was great. And the one thing I took away from it that I thought he put so perfectly was that it starts with us. You know, not demanding to be included, but creating our own space in this world. To encourage our peers to be writers and actors and directors and producers and creators instead of letting our parents convince us that we should be doctors and lawyers and scientists. We all need to be someone's Margaret Cho. Because the only way we will be heard is if enough of our voices speak out. Thank you.